On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Well, now I've heard everything. Apparently, there is something that you can buy over the counter, not under it, over it, in a pharmacia. And I think it's called Prevagen or something like that. And what it does is it improves the strength of memory. It protects against memory loss. I think that's what it does. I can't remember. Anyway, apparently the major component, the major ingredient in this particular over-the-counter drug that helps preserve your memory comes from jellyfish. First of all, I didn't know anything came from jellyfish other than jelly. Wouldn't that make sense? Or where does jelly come from? Well, you take the fruit and you cook it down and you add sugar to it and you add gelatin. No. It comes from jellyfish. What you do is you capture a jellyfish in a net and you squeeze the crap out of it, and all the jelly from inside the jellyfish goes into the jar, and then they flavor it. Is that what happens? No. You get no jelly from a jellyfish. Apparently, there's some component in the makeup of the jellyfish that they extract from the jellyfish, and this apparently makes you smarter and makes you retain your memory. Okay. If that's true, then I'm missing out on the attributes of your common jellyfish. Because I've seen jellyfish, they pretty much just like waddle around floating in the water. They don't do anything. They don't swim upstream. There's no schools of jellyfish. They don't do anything. How does that have anything to do with memory loss? It looks like the jellyfish have memory loss. They don't know where the hell they are. They're just floating in the water. They don't know where they are. What can I get from a jellyfish? It's not like I'm walking around as a human being saying, I wish I were as smart as a jellyfish. I have the memory of a jellyfish. That's incredible. Congratulations, Ron. I didn't know your memory was that sharp. Yes, I do have the memory of a jellyfish. Wow, that's impressive. No, it's not. I don't want anything of a jellyfish. If I wanted memory, a good memory, I just take a jellyfish and just squeeze it into my mouth, I guess. Jellyfish, by the way, are the most disgusting things on the planet. First of all, they sting you. When they sting you, it's really painful. It's more painful than shingles. It's more painful than having your foot shot off. I don't know that for a fact. It hasn't happened to me. I don't think I've ever been stung by a jellyfish. Maybe I have. I don't remember. Oh, cool. You would figure I would remember if I was stung by a jellyfish, because when I was stung by a jellyfish, if I was, it would have injected this incredible jellyfish memory thing into me. But I don't remember if I was stung by a jellyfish or not. I know I've never had my foot shot off. I'd remember that. Of course, the FDA, and these are just three letters that we came up with. It doesn't mean anything. It's the Federal Drug Administration. You know, when I was younger, I used to trust the government. Oh, the Federal Drug Administration, it must be safe. Oh, they approved it? Oh, it must be safe. Now, thanks to Donald Trump, I don't believe anything I hear that has anything to do with government at all. I think government is inefficient, stupid, and actually incredibly naive and destructive. Thanks to Trump. Before Trump, I believed in the government, that their job was to protect us. Now, since Trump got into office, I believe the government's job is to screw me big time. So the FDA has approved this Prevagen thing. I don't think I want to put a jellyfish thing in my mouth. Although I take fish oil pills every day. I take one in the morning, one at night. Fish oil is supposed to increase my circulation. It's got omega-3s. I have no idea what that is. I've talked about this before. I don't know what happened to omegas 2 and 4. They didn't work out too well. 3 is the one that took. I don't know. I don't understand that. And as I've said many times, fish, salmon have fish oil. They swim upstream against the current. Why am I taking their advice? They're rebels. They don't seem healthy. As I said before, I had goldfish when I was a kid. They have fish oil in them, goldfish. They died within 6 minutes. How effective was their fish oil for them? It's supposed to be effective for me when my goldfish die in 6 minutes and they're full of fish oil? No, 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 no. Something's wrong somewhere. And I don't know what is wrong, but something's wrong. That's all I have to know. Something's wrong somewhere. Now, if I could take Van Damme juice, and that's a disgusting thought, and inject it into your body, you would be wonderful, you see. But I'm not available for over-the-counter. It ain't gonna happen.
Welcome to the Ron Van Damme Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm only available under the counter.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Damme Show. Wow, seriously? That sounds like fun. I can't wait. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. I have been in broadcast now for nearly 30 years. That scares the hell out of me, too. So I'm not some little fly-by-night piece of crap. Well, not a fly-by-night piece of crap, at least. I'm a veteran broadcasting piece of crap. Let's get our stories straight here, please. We can be heard just about everywhere, except for probably where you would want to hear me. The Podbean network holds all 1,100 of our programs in the past few years here. You can listen to all of them and binge listen until you die. Or you can go to iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Alexa, Amazon app, SoundCloud, just about everywhere. So thank you so much for your indulgence. Without you, I would not be able to afford food, so I thank you for helping me with that. And many of my other lascivious activities are funded by people like yourselves and other factions that have to do with this, and advertisers and interviews and people that, anyway. And I know this because I am as sharp and smart as a jellyfish. Yeah, I know. I know. It's impressive. I should use that line at a singles dance, not that I go to them. When I go to a singles dance, it's literal. I'm the only one there. I am the single person at the dance, so that doesn't work too well. But I'd love if I were just able to walk into a singles bar and walk up to a pretty woman and say, "Excuse me, my name is Ron. I actually have the memory of a jellyfish." Oh! Right to bed, baby. Right to bed. I'm telling you, that would be a turn-on that no woman would be able to resist. And they shouldn't, because that is just, hey, baby, I have the memory of a jellyfish. Wow. Are you looking fine tonight? What, did you cut your hair? You look really sexy tonight. How did you get rid of all that bloat? My name is Ron. Yeah. I've been that name since birth. My parents figured I couldn't really grasp anything longer than three letters. And I said, thank you. Would you care for a drink? Would you care if I drank? You know, my finest attribute is not my body, nor my personality, nor my piercingly wonderful eyes. My finest attribute is my memory. What was your name again? I can remember things that happened before they even happened. I remember things that never happened. That's how sharp my memory is. Do you know why? It's because I take Prevagen, available at all pharmacies across this country. That's right, Prevagen. I have the memory of a jellyfish. Okay, did you hear about Ryan Seacrest? Oh no, is he all right? Did he fall down? Did Ryan Seacrest fall down? Oh no, he did? He fell down? That's fantastic. I did not know that. Ryan Seacrest fell down, ladies and gentlemen. I know. Beautiful, beautiful. It is beautiful. Ryan Seacrest fell down. Actually, he didn't. Ryan Seacrest is being, and has been, accused of sexual harassment. That, like, 3-foot-tall little guy who used to host, what was the name of that show? I can't remember. Where's my jellyfish? Now, American Idol, of course, and American Idol is coming back. You can't keep a good thing down, nor apparently a bad thing that didn't work out. American Idol ran its course, and now ABC is saying, I haven't had enough of this yet. So now they're bringing back Ryan Seacrest, who now is embroiled in a horrible thing where he's been accused of sexual harassment. So, whether it's true or not, is not sure. As a matter of fact, Ryan Seacrest is being accused by a woman named Susie Hardy. Ryan was hosting E! News back in 2006. Did that for quite a while. His personal stylist was this girl, Susie Hardy. She was his personal stylist. I don't have a personal stylist. I think that's rather obvious. My personal stylist would probably be a jellyfish. But Ryan Seacrest's personal stylist is Susie Hardy. She claims that she was sexually harassed, that Ryan even showed her some body parts that he possessed. That's the accusation. In 2013, Susie Hardy, Ryan Seacrest's personal stylist, went to the personnel department at E! News, at the E! Network, E! Entertainment, and complained that she was being sexually harassed by Seacrest. Within a matter of a day, Susie was fired, stating problems in her performance. Wow. Wow, that doesn't sound right, as best as I can tell. Ryan Seacrest has been quiet about this. When it came out publicly fairly recently, Ryan made a statement, which is basically how it came out. And he said, if something was taken the wrong way or if I offended Susie Hardy in any way, I apologize. But, you know, Ryan Seacrest is the co-host on Live with Kelly and Ryan, also on ABC. He never mentions these allegations on that show at all. He hosted the red carpet on the last Oscars, and many of the Oscar nominees and many of the celebrities decided not to talk to Ryan, not to be interviewed by him on the red carpet. Dissed. So I don't know what's up with Ryan. He seems like a very nice person, but do not let that fool you sometimes. So we don't know. It becomes very difficult because people can misconstrue things. If Ryan actually flashed any of his genitals at any employees, that's a whole nother story. Or this story could be whole in itself. I don't know. And of course, that's not the only sexual harassment situation going on. The other one is actually by the President of the United States. This man has seasoned us so well, this Trump guy, that when Trump gets into sexual harassment problems, we don't even bat an eyelash anymore. As a matter of fact, and here we go with E again, on the E tour bus, yo many years ago, we all heard the tape of your president claiming that when you're famous, such as he does, he can grab any pussy that he wants. I hope I'm not offending any adults. If there are any children listening, I'm talking about he likes little cats. That's what I meant. This man we elected as president, you see. Well, now Stormy Daniels was a porn star and an actress and a director. Her name is actually Stephanie Clifford. And she apparently, well, not apparently, now it's proven that she was paid over $100,000, I believe $130,000, by Trump's attorney as hush money to hush her up so that she would not discuss nor reveal the fact that she had a sexual affair with Donald Trump. Well, who couldn't keep one's hands off of him? Anyway, that took place. That happened. That hush money was paid. But Trump's attorney is saying, well, Trump never paid me back, so Trump didn't pay it. I did. Oh, okay. Yeah, that even makes a difference. Stormy Daniels, through her attorneys, you see, all of a sudden, Trump's attorney is talking about this thing by saying that, yeah, the money was paid, but it wasn't from campaign finance funds, and it wasn't from Donald Trump. I see. So you just pay money. You just pay money out to people for hush money, but you don't ask your clients to pay that money. You do it out of your own pocket, and you don't charge them for it. I see. Is that what you do? I believe Trump has this attorney on a huge retainer, and the monies were paid in there somewhere. But Trump is smart legally because he's been sued a billion times. That's another great thing. Your president has been sued a billion times for sexual harassment, for people that went to the Trump University, which I don't even understand what that is. People saying that there was no Trump University, was no Trump at all. It was just copies of his book that people were explaining, and that's Trump University. And they said that they didn't get their money's worth at all, and a lot of them were paid off too, to keep them quiet and to settle the lawsuit. Trump settles more lawsuits than anybody. Let me ask you something. If you were sued for something, do you have enough money to settle out of court and to hush people up? Do you have that kind of money? Do you have a couple of $100,000 just laying around for all various types of people multiple times to pay them up to shut up? Do you have that kind of money? Trump does. You voted in somebody that solves their legal and moral problems by paying people off. That's your president. Good choice. Nice way to think it through, babe. Nice way to think it through. Anyway, I'm not here to dump on Trump. Ooh, dump on Trump. Ooh, how come no one came up with that.com? Maybe there is one. That's worth buying. That.com is worth buying. Anyway, Stormy Daniels, the porn star, is now suing Donald Trump. And apparently, Donald Trump never signed this hush money thing. That Stormy Daniels signed and said that she wouldn't talk about it, and that's what the money was for. Trump never signed it. So apparently Daniels' attorneys are saying, well, Trump never signed it, so it's not binding. Here's the problem. That money was paid. She did accept it. It took place. There are pictures of her with Trump. Could she have concocted this? Perhaps. But we're learning about Trump the man. And when you hear an audio tape in Trump's voice saying, I can get it anywhere I want, and I do, you put two and two together, you're going to always get four, no matter how mathematically challenged you may be. It's true. It's absolutely true. And by the way, if you had forgotten, about a little less than a year ago, Trump actually said that that person on that E-Entertainment bus audio thing, that was not him. That was somebody that sounded like him, but it was not him. I mean, seriously? Seriously? Did you even say that? And yet Trump doesn't lie. Apparently just never lies, ever. Come on, Mueller, let's get it on. Let's get this thing over with. What are you pussyfooting around for? Let's get to it. All right. You don't want to hear this, do you? You don't want to hear this. You want to hear some grumpy guy complaining about everything. That would be me. You don't want to hear that.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right. Maybe Trump's got enough money to pay people off, but do you have enough money for retirement? I don't know if you do. We've spoken to Fidelity Investments before. They're probably the most popular person-to-person investment company. And they keep saying, man, you don't have to have a ton of money to do something with it. Don't just let it sit there. Grow your money. You're going to retire someday. You want some money because apparently this whole retirement system isn't working out too well. It may even fall apart. So the younger you are, the earlier you set something up for retirement, the better off you are. But even if you're older, you can still benefit to some extent. So I thought it was important enough to speak to them. Also, it's part of my revenue stream. So let's say hello to them. Hello, Ken.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Ken Everett is the Senior Vice President of Retirement Fidelity Investments. We're talking about a new study that comes from Fidelity Investments that says that Americans save significantly more. They're more prepared than they ever were for retirement. Is that correct?
Well, what our study is telling us is that over the last 10 years, Americans have made a tremendous amount of progress in getting ready for retirement. However, you know, we're not exactly where we need to be. So the good news is, you know, their average retirement readiness score, and this is a Fidelity score, has mm-hmm. gone from 62 about 10 years ago to an 80 now. Wow. And what that means, Ron, is that people are more better positioned to cover their essential expenses in retirement and some of the nice-to-haves from their own savings. Now, that's on top of Social Security and then any other pension income that they might have. So really good progress, but still room to improve.
Yeah, I mean, personally, that surprises me. I don't know if it surprises you, because we had a total financial meltdown around 2007, 2008, which is about 10 years ago, when there was not any money to save, really. So this is kind of surprising.
You know, what we observed was that people acted pretty quickly coming out of that recession. They acted quickly to curb their, you know, discretionary spending, you know, to stop spending money on things that they really don't need. They acted quickly to pay off their debt because people were concerned about whether or not they were going to, you know, have a paycheck, mm-hmm. right? And so it was a really different type of concern from an economic standpoint. It was about job security and paycheck security. So people acted pretty quickly. But the other thing that they did was they sort of woke up to the fact that saving and having money in an emergency fund, but also saving for the long term, is a way to create, you know, financial security and independence in the future. It's one of the things that you do control. So, you know, people acted pretty quickly, and we're actually seeing that show up in the numbers. Now, the other thing, of course, is that in addition to getting sort of like the spending and the savings in a better spot, people also have done more to save in their 401k plans, in things like Roth IRAs. And for those people who, as opposed to, you know, jumping out of the market and then trying to time getting back in, but rather stayed and had a plan, you know, that also helped a lot as well.
Interesting stuff. So, I mean, I assume that there are more products available now than there were before, as far as money growing is concerned.
Oh, sure. I mean, there are definitely, you know, more products. But at the end of the day, you know, what matters the most are really three things. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is, you know, are you saving? And, you know, we say you should target getting to a point where you can save about 15% of your paycheck. Now, you know, that's hard to do when you're first starting out. And so we say when you're first starting out, if you have access to a 401k plan, and or some type of employer plan, and they offer some type of match, you really should participate to the point where you get that match. For those people who don't have a plan, everybody with earned income can save in an IRA. So, you know, you should definitely be doing that. But when it comes to the investment piece of it, mm-hmm. Whether you're using, you know, one of the new types of, you know, investment products that are now available. So, for example, in the last 10 years, things like exchange traded funds, ETFs, have become, you know, more available. There's more sort of, you know, index fund types of options that are out there. So there are more choices. But what it really comes down to is given your time horizon, meaning how long it's going to be before you have to start, you know, spending that money. You want to make sure that you're leveraging stocks or, you know, equities over the long term to capture the long term growth of the economy, but also balanced with some bonds and cash. So whether you're using one of the new investment products that are available now that weren't available 10 years ago, or you're sticking with, you know, the stuff that's been around for a while, it still comes down to making sure that, you know, you're investing in a way that's going to give you the best chance to grow that money in a smart way.
I mean, I guess that's the way to go. A lot of companies now apparently are starting to end pensions. Some of the largest corporations in this country are just going to the 401ks, and that's it, and ending the whole pension deal. So
So it's really interesting because one of the things we find is that a meaningful percentage of current currently retired households still have some pension income, and some of those households, you know, a nice amount of pension income.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, you know, corporations have been moving away from those, you know, traditional defined benefit pension plans and moving more towards savings plans. But the savings plans are also improving. There's, you know, there's matches available. You can auto contribute. The investment options allow people to manage the cost of those investments better. And the other thing that we're seeing is, in addition to the 401k plan, more and more companies are making things like health savings accounts, HSAs, available. So we've seen a pretty big growth in those as well, which is one of the things people can do. A lot of people get concerned about, you know, the future of the economy and their jobs, but the one thing most people are definitely concerned about is the cost of health care and retirement. And so, you know, the availability of ways to save money in a more tax-efficient way have really become more prevalent.
Yeah, for sure. I long for the old days. I don't think you're as old as I am, Ken, but you used to put some money in a savings account, and you were earning like 5-7% a year. That was like, whoa. No, there was no stock market involved. That was just like sure stuff cash. That was cool.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, cash is still an important part of, you know, people's financial plans. But, yeah, so I think what you're getting at is that you do have to take a little more risk now, right, to get those returns. And that's why, you know, stocks do tend to, over time, outperform other asset classes, because you're getting rewarded for, you know, taking some of the risk that comes with times like we're going through, you know, this month, you know, with the big swings, the ups and downs. But over time, you know, you're being rewarded for taking that risk.
That's always the bottom line, is if it's in the future, you're good. Just leave it alone and let it do its thing, because it always ends up on top.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we find that the people with a plan, you know, tend to not necessarily shrug off the volatility that we're experiencing right now, but they certainly have come to be able to ignore it a little bit more, because they have a plan and they know where they're headed.
Yeah.
It's the people who don't have a plan that get really spooked by what's happening right now.
And the people getting close to retirement that get a little bit spooked, like,
this is going to be a because you're thinking, I got to start spending this money.
Yeah.
But again, you know, there are smart ways to do that, and working with a professional advisor, or even just, you know, calling a company like Fidelity and you know, getting your own read on where you stand. We have a Fidelity retirement score. It's a personal score, like a credit score.
Mm-hmm.
6 questions, and you know, you'll get a pretty good idea of where you're staying, what you can do to, you know, make things better. Even if you're doing good, there's still ways to make things better.
I think what people don't understand, every time I talk to Fidelity and we do these interviews, people understand that you don't have to have tons of money in order to do something with it. And speaking to a Fidelity person or investment counselor is like, they don't charge you for that. You just sit down, you talk, and you see what can be done. And sometimes you're surprised that your dollar can turn into a lot more than a dollar.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for bringing that up. It doesn't cost you anything except a little bit of time and the courage, you know, to go in and maybe talk about some stuff that you may not be totally familiar with. But you're right. I think one of the things that, you know, professional, you know, financial advisors can do for people, and we hear this over and over again, is they help them find money that they didn't realize they have. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people, for example, assume that they'll start taking Social Security at age 62, and that it's just, that's the amount of money that they're going to have.
Yes.
But if there's different ways to claim, and you can actually make that lifetime benefit even richer by waiting a few years. So you're right. I mean, you know, meeting with an advisor doesn't cost anything. And you may find that, you know, there are opportunities and there's money out there that you didn't know was there for you.
Right. Well, it's all at Fidelity.com. Not hard to remember, Fidelity.com. Ken, thanks for your time today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, and it's always a pleasure to chat with you about you know, helping people improve their overall, you know, financial security. It matters a lot to people.
Well, yeah, sure do. Thanks again, Ken.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye. Well, there you go. There you go. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Will you join me then? That would be really, really, really nice of you if you did that. I'd appreciate it is what I would do. So, yeah, tomorrow? Great. Thank you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Goodbye.